This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
My name is Anne and I am one of the leaders here. And for the rest of our time together this morning, we're going to be revisiting our theme of who is Jesus and our personal experience of who is Jesus. And I'd encourage you to use this time as an opportunity to move from the theory of who Jesus is, perhaps from the who Jesus is as a historical figure, and this is a chance to really think of what is the practical outworking of our faith, what happens when we take who we know Jesus to be and actually try and put that into practice in our daily lives. So we're going to be reading briefly from Mark, chapter 4. So if you do have a Bible, I'd encourage you to look at it. If not, I'd encourage you just to listen this time because it's just a short bit I'm going to read. And while I read it to us, I'd like to encourage my friend and colleague Sue to come up because she's going to be sharing some of her story with us. So while she comes up, let me just read this passage to you. So Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Now, when I look at Sue, bring her up here, and think back over the years I've known her, I see someone who hasn't always had it easy, but who has persevered, who's kept Jesus in her line of sight, and someone who, in my mind, is very much like a lamp on a stand. She calls upon the name of Jesus time and time again, acknowledging Jesus in her victories and falling at his feet in her times of desperation. Those of you who know her will know that to be true as well. Now, I met Sue many years ago, and I've actually lost track of when. And we've been working alongside each other for the last 6 or so years, although I took 2 years out of the office to have children and all sorts in the church office. So I know her a little bit, but for those of you who don't know her, let's just set the scene. So Sue, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
The crazy bit. I love to laugh. I have a secret desire to want to be in a side-splitting comedy on the West End. The idea of making people laugh every night and getting paid for it, my idea of heaven. For some of you might know this, but I'm letting out a secret now, that many years ago, I went to see a hypnotist at the Grand Theatre, and I was chosen to go on stage to be hypnotised, but I spent the whole evening pretending to be hypnotised just because I liked making people laugh.
I can imagine this. Well, I was quite jealous I wasn't in the audience. And so, putting that to one side, what do you really like? And in particular, how do you do relationships?
Right, well, although I've just said I like to be on stage and perform, it might seem like I want to be the centre of attention, but actually, I'm far more an introvert. I don't like parties. I like to be invited to parties. I just don't like to go to them. I need space to recharge my batteries. Now, I'm going to say something which is maybe a little bit contradictory, because although I don't like parties, I love people, just one or two at a time, not all together in one room, despite this collection I have here. Now, it was lovely this morning when Liz said about Jesus encourages to know each other, because that I know to be true, because it's in my knowing of my close friends that has been a wonderful experience for me, because they have taught me about relationships, and they've loved me and celebrated me when I haven't loved myself. And they encourage me to be who I am, that I'm free to be me, and that I can fly even when I don't feel like I'm the capability to take one step. So they've taught me a lot about being a good friend to people.
And now we're going to shift back to our topic a bit more about who is Jesus. And Sue, can you remember, think back, when did you first hear about Jesus?
Okay, well, for those close friends I've just spoken about, they will know that I can talk about Jesus until the cows come home. So in order for you to get home for tea time, I apologise that I will be reading from the notes that I've made to keep me on track. It was 30 years ago now when I first heard of a God who called me his child. A God who actually wanted to be with me, have a relationship with me. My growing up years have been a far cry from being wanted and looked after. They were empty days, days of rejection and isolation. Emotional abusive household had taught me to hide, to be invisible, to survive. I had no identity as a dear child, no voice, no place to feel seen, feel safe and be home. I was told that God says in the Bible, I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me. I had mixed emotions about these words. I dreamt of a father's love, but my father's presence had filled me with fear and panic. I couldn't make him happy, so how on earth could I make God happy? I was going to church every week simply because my boyfriend, now my husband David, was a Christian. I'd heard scripture say beautiful things to me, like, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Oh, I desperately wanted that to be true, but I felt unworthy of love, undeserving of any attention, certainly the attention of God. I was convinced that he was only going to reject me in the end, and I really couldn't cope with his rejection, not Jesus. Then one day, about 3 months into this journey, everything just got too much for me, and I cried out to him, if you are real, if you are there, I can't cope anymore. Please help me. And instantly, a deep calm filled me right up. A gentle reassurance of his presence right there in my distress. I sensed a gentle strength lifting my weary head. I'd never felt anything like it before. That moment convinced me that he was indeed real. And I wanted to belong to this father. And within 24 hours of sensing his presence, I decided that I was going to let him in and I was going to let him love me. Now, the prayer was simple, but letting him near to love me, well, that was not that easy. I was a broken person, deeply wounded. I couldn't just open up and be free overnight to be fathered by God. That was not easy for me to do at all. Relationships were unfamiliar to me. Part of me longed to connect with him, to relax with him. But there was the abused side of me that still hid, tentatively peeking out from behind my insecurities. I came to realize I was really scared of him. Sure, he would be angry with me, just like my father always was. Demanding and distant, full of rules and regulations that I didn't follow. If I didn't follow, I would be a bad girl and not wanted anymore. It was a tug of war inside me. Love me. No, don't come near me. Love me. He took his time reassuring me and let me take my time believing that I could actually be safe with him, tenderly showing me his love over the years in ways I could accept, see, understand, until I could accept that the fatherhood God offered me was a place my heart could call home.
Thank you. Now, the story doesn't end there, so you'll hear from the timeline. And there is so much of Sue's story which we could tell today, but we're just going to have time for a few snippets now. But Sue has said that if you would like to talk to her more at the end of this morning or catch her another time, then particularly if her experiences resonate with you, she would love to speak with you and pray with you and talk more. But for now, Sue, can we have a few snippets of the highs and the lows since then?
Okay. This was really hard to put into just a few sentences, but Jesus says in the Bible, I will never let you down, never walk off and leave you. And he never did. Even when I showed him my vulnerability, my mess, my nasty, he didn't turn away. In fact, he did the opposite. He reached out, moved closer. He claimed me from the rubble of my life, and he celebrated me when I hated who I was. Over the years, he took me to a place of stability and trust, in the full knowledge that I am his completely, fully accepted right where I am. It took years, though, of two steps forward and one step back. But when that revelation that I was accepted as I am finally birthed inside my spirit, I started to move closer and live right by his side. It was this new closeness with my father that strengthened and carried me through dreadfully low points, such as the three episodes of cancer I faced in 2003, 2006, and 2012. In those years, he taught me how to let him be my foundation, my scaffolding, the rock I stood on when I was so weak and everything felt uncertain and frightening. It was also a time of testing again just how much I can be real with him. There were days I felt safe enough to scream and yell at him and ask him why. But there were also days that I let him lay by my side and keep the horror of it all at bay for a while. Those were precious but painful days when he was the only strength I knew, the only hope I had. And he gave and he gave and he gave. All these years, I can testify that there have been, yes, days when I have been ready and willing for anything, but there have been far more days when I say, no, I can't do this. But you see, Jesus isn't fazed by anything, and his love and acceptance of me never changed, even on the days I would stomp my feet, turn my back, and ignore his love. My spirit would eventually hear him say, I'm right here, and I'll be waiting. I have all the time in the world to love you back to life.
So now we take all of those ups and downs, and we're going to bring Sue back into the present, taking her on a bit of an emotional journey today. So now, what is Jesus like for you now?
Right. Over the years, he has taken this little girl who used to hide all the time from everyone and slowly and tenderly grow me into a woman who loves who she is. Like rocks are smoothed and turned over time by the flow of a raging river, so I continue to be forever beautifully changed by the relentless, never-ending tide of his perfect love for me. It keeps flowing, moment by moment, through sun and storm. I now trust him enough to allow that flow to smooth my edges, to turn my face to him and become who I should always have been. Jesus has become such a part of me that he is the Blackpool through my stick of rock. I don't know where he starts and I finish. We are woven together. Not every day is easy, though. There are times when he feels a million miles away and sorrow threatens to crush me. It's those days that I hold on by faith to his promises. Like the one in Isaiah that says, I've picked you, I haven't dropped you, don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. And when he feels distant, in those times of fear and insecurity, I play in my mind the home videos we've made together through the years, and I see afresh his smile, the tears he wept with me and for me, and the arms that took the full weight of my brokenness with ease as he carried me through to safe ground, and I relax again in that love and trust afresh in his promise, and I declare, Father, you always speak truth, and you have proved to me time after time after time that I am your child. So I choose now to trust and know that you are with me, even in the silence.
Isn't that wonderful? And this is the question I'm really interested in, because like all relationships, they take time and energy, and a lot goes into maintaining things and maintaining healthy relationships. So Sue, how do you do that with Jesus practically for you? What does that look like?
Okay, well, It's really evolved over the years into something quite beautiful, actually, and extremely real. I talk to him about everything. Everything. I look for him everywhere. I find his answers, his love, his presence in so many things. Yes, the words in the Bible. But in the book I'm reading, in the conversation with my friends, in the music I play, even hanging out my washing, he is there all the time, showing me things, lifting my heart. And I have to say that he often makes me really giddy with joy. But far too often, for my liking, he asks hard things of me. Conversations I don't want to have. Sacrifices of my time, my resources, that I would rather not have to give. Asking me to let go of what I want and trusting he has a better plan for me. But I've learnt that in those times when I obediently, even though it's reluctantly, say yes, when everything inside me wants to say absolutely not, that I am changed for the better and I see more of the smoothing of my edges and I become more of me, not less. Life becomes so much better. Now, often that better does take time, but with Jesus, it is always guaranteed. He most definitely knows me better than I know myself. I need him. I can't live a fulfilling, overcoming life without him. I just can't live without him. I look for him and find him everywhere, and I'm always searching for him. And I've learned to see him in all things, not just the beautiful things, like mornings like this, where I'm sharing about how amazing he is with you guys, but on the days when old habits come to haunt me and childhood insecurities threaten to shake my faith. It is at those times his love shines through the fog of mixed emotions deep inside me. Deep inside me, where we are a team, where no one else knows or sees. That is where the Holy Spirit does his greatest work. Those times I can't explain to anyone, but I simply know his comfort. I recognize his "I got you, Sue" voice, and I relax and I let him love me back from the brink of it all. There is so much more of this relationship I want to commit to. I feel like if God is an ocean, I'm only in to my toe tips. But there will always be more of Jesus to explore and enjoy, but I intend to do that throughout the years, and I pray that one day I will be scuba diving in his love.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I want to say thank you to Sue. It's taken a lot to come and share some of that. I know it has cost her the last few weeks as she's prepared just the remembering and attempting to condense a lifetime of moments along the journey. So thank you, Sue, and thank you that you live your life in a way that points people to Jesus. I think it is no mistake that Sue and Dave head up our Alpha course because they love pointing people to Jesus and introducing them to him. Now, we do have a few minutes, because you were so efficient in that drill, before anyone needs to get the children, so we have a wonderful time to just process and to pray for each other. So let's see, I'm going to give you a moment just to let Sue's words rest and let God speak to you about the truth of what's going on in your life. For those of you for whom this is strange and unfamiliar, I don't know if you can just sense there's like a weightiness to this room. It's uncharacteristically quiet, and that is God's presence with us. I sometimes think it's almost like you could reach out and kind of grab it. I say to the children, Vineyard kids, you could just grab it and like put it in a bottle and keep it with you. When I was praying about this morning and preparing, I really sensed that there are a number of things that God wanted to do, and we're just going to go through them now in the safety and peace of this place. And one of them was just a reality that I'm going to pray for us now, which is, thank you, God, that you are with us through the ups and downs of life. Thank you that you made the world, and so you scale the heights and depths of everything that there is. And that you know us, and you created us, and so you know the inner workings of our hearts and minds. And that you will never leave us or forsake us. And thank you that just like in Sue's story, you are trustworthy and you are true to your word. And where others may let us down, we can hold on to your truth and your love. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us. And that as we've remembered this morning in communion, that you died for us. And that there is nothing we can do to separate ourselves. There's nothing that can make us not good enough, but that you love us and that you pursue us and that you desperately want to know us and that you are there ready and waiting with arms open for us just to turn our hearts and minds towards you. I think that there are a number of people here who have been really stirred by Sue's story. There are particular bits that have captivated you and grabbed your attention. And I think that there's a number of people here who desperately want more of that relationship with Jesus that Sue spoke of. I think Sue herself will be front of the queue of someone wanting more. Just wanting more. And if that's you in a moment, I'll give you a chance to respond and step forward and say, I want more. And I also think that there are people here struggling with really big things in their life. And that when Sue spoke of times of just crying out to God and saying, why this? I just sense that there are some of you in that place today. And if that's you, I'd really encourage you to get prayer today, because God can take our whys and our questions. And this is a wonderful place to ask him, with people around who you can support you as you wrestle with the big things in life, because life is not always straightforward and simple. So I'm going to invite you all to stand if you're able to. God's presence is just weighty. You're like, oh, let's stand up. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you that your presence is tangible here today. And thank you that there is always more of you if we're just ready to ask for it and to receive it. And right now, would you stir in our hearts and minds, those of us who you want to respond this morning, to respond to you. And if God's doing something in you, I'd encourage you just to make your way to the front if you're able to. And to come up now, and I'll find someone to pray for you and just bless what God's doing. And if you're someone who desperately wants more of a relationship with Jesus, maybe you have one already, maybe you don't, maybe you just hunger for more or a way to make time, I'd invite you to come forward too. Or if you're in that point of just wrestling with something really big and you're crying out to God and saying, why God, why this? would you come? I just sense that there's more of you. So we're just going to wait for a moment.
God said to me as well that there may be people here who we mention about God being an ocean, and some people can see an ocean as a scary place of vicious waves to drown you and overwhelm you. But that's not God's ocean. God's love is a bathing love. He wants to bathe you in his ocean, not drown you. And he wants to bathe you. It's not, he wants to honour you and love you where you are, taking your time. He knows you so well. It's not a love to be afraid of. It's a love that will be a changing love. And he encourages you, if you're afraid of that love, if you see this ocean as something scary, don't be afraid of it. Because it's a love that takes its time with you, knows you, ministers to you, and bathes you, just doesn't overwhelm.
I do still think there's a few more people. So if that's you, I'd like you to just come up whenever you're ready. If you're a regular in a small group here, would you just come and bless what God's doing in these people? It takes bravery to step forward. They might be able to articulate what it is, but we just come and... What we do is we just... lay a hand on them and just say, we bless what God's doing. If they want to share anything, that's up to them. But yeah, I could. Yes. God's just used Sarah to remind me of what he's just said, which is that I think there are some men who could do with responding but haven't yet. So men, this is for you as well. If God's doing something and stirring in something, I'd really encourage you to respond. And if coming to the front is too much of a step, then please do turn to someone near you and make sure you receive all that God has for you. I could do with a couple more women to come and pray. So if you're not engaged with God where you are and you're part of a small group, do come forward and help out. The beauty of praying how we pray is that you don't have to do anything, you just have to bless what God is already doing. We'll let them carry on praying, but in the meantime, let me just say thank you for coming to Leeds Vineyard this morning. Thank you for humouring us through our emergency evacuation drill. And thank you to our teams for being outstanding in doing that and giving it a go. And Vineyard Kids will be finishing up in the next couple of minutes, so there's no immediate rush to go collect them. right. If you're not in the middle of being prayed for or praying, if you do have children in Vineyard Kids, now is a great time to go and get them. And we will see you here next Sunday. I pray that you have a wonderful week. Thank you.